desert. They've already tested God multiple times. Sometimes they've been punished for their testing. But here in chapter 13, very important chapter because they are at the border of the promised land. They're about to go in, Lord willing, and God's going to send in some spies. And we'll see what happens. So here in Numbers 13, beginning in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. If you go down to 23, we're going to read some others in between later. They came unto the brook of Eshel, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshel, because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coasts of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So our title tonight is, We Be Not Able. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and all the lessons that you've given us from it. I pray we'll learn tonight some lessons that will help us with our faith, trusting you. And I pray that our desire would be to enter the promised land. And so I pray, Lord, for your will in our hearts, that you would guide us, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this was God. He said to Moses, I want you to send a ruler from each of the 12 tribes. So these were men that were leaders. They, sadly, they were rulers that didn't have much of a vision, as we see. But they were rulers among each of the tribes. But the key, really, in verse 2, he says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give. It's important for us to understand tonight that the promised land was already theirs. God had been promising it to them for a very long time, from the days of Abraham. Hundreds of years before, he's been telling them since he pulled them out of Egypt, I'm going to take you to the promised land. It's yours. I'm gifting it to you. So it's important that we understand this. He didn't say, I want you to send in the spies so that they can come back and tell us if it's possible. He said, I want you to send in the spies so the people can be encouraged about what a great place it is that they're about to go into. It's the promised land. Amen. And we've talked about this. The promised land is not necessarily representative of heaven. It's representative of the victorious Christian life that God wants us all to cross the Jordan and enter into, a life of serving the Lord, a life of faithfulness and so forth. But there's going to be some battles. Amen. There might even be some giants, which we'll talk about. So Moses sent the spies. He says in verse 18, and I want you to see the land, what it is. And the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they have that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And be ye of good courage. Gentlemen, there's nothing to be afraid of. This is our land. This is the promised land. God's already given it to us. That's what he said in verse 2, which I give unto you. Be of good courage. Bring the fruit of the land. How many times in the Old Testament did God say, be of good courage? Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. And on we could go. And he says to these 12 spies, be of good courage, gentlemen. Bring back the fruit. And we saw there in verse 23, they found a cluster of grapes. Can you imagine a cluster of grapes being so heavy that it would take two men to carry it? That's a big cluster of grapes. And of course, we know this is a picture that's very important to Israel, isn't it? We see it all the time. It's a picture of these two men carrying a cluster of grapes representative of their land, their promised land. And we also, one of our hymns, we sing about Eshel, don't we? Where the grapes of Eshel grow. I forget which song it is. Is it? I Want That Mountain. Yeah, about Caleb, where the grapes of Eshel grow. So they spent, verse 25, 40 days. Is that a coincidence? Of course not. We know that in Scripture, 40 days is always representative of testing. Moses spent 40 days on the mountain receiving the law from the Lord. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert before he was tempted and tested by the devil. And the spies spent 40 days, not 39 or 41, but 40 days spying out the land. And they brought back word, verse 27, it floweth with milk and honey. My friend, if you're a Christian, this is what God already has for you. He's already given it to you. And that is the abundant Christian life, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This is what Jesus' will is for every believer. Look at John 10:10, and I'll show you this. And you know, what I wish is that this verse 27 was the end of the story. But instead, it's the beginning of the story. The sad story. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. When Jesus gave us life, he gave us an abundant life. Amen? The abundant Christian life. He gave us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And we have to go in and take it, though. That's the thing. God could have killed all those tribes and said, here, it's laid waste. Go set up your new cities. Right? He could have done that. He had the power to do that. But he didn't. He said, I want you to go and I want you to fight for every city. He could have done it completely differently, but instead he said, no, you're going to go in and you're going to fight for every piece of land. It's yours. I've already given it to you and I'm going to help you, but you still got to fight. Amen? And the abundant Christian life is ours. God's already given it to us, but we got to fight for it. The devil's going to fight us. The world's going to fight us. The flesh is going to fight us. The abundant Christian life isn't just handed to us on a silver platter. We got to fight for it. And like I said, I wish it was the end of the story, but verse 28, that first word, nevertheless. Too many Christians are nevertheless Christians. I know this is what God wants for me. I know that God lives in me, and I know by faith that God can do anything and that he wants me to live the victorious Christian life. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Yep. You know what? The devil's strong. But Jesus is stronger. Amen? The cities are walled. Yep. Some of the cities that we have to fight to get the victorious Christian life are walled cities. But God can knock down walls. Amen? Didn't he do that at Jericho? Oh, also, there were giants. And yep. We're going to have to slay some giants, but is that possible through God? Of course it is. David did it, and it's the same God that we serve. Amen? We can choose to look at the outward circumstances and say, we can't do it. Or we can choose to look at the circumstances and say, it's going to be tough, but me and God make a majority and we can do it. Same circumstances, same giants, same walled cities. It's all about perspective. Amen. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. The other 10 said, can't do it. Which kind of Christian are we? Are we a Joshua and a Caleb that says, I want that mountain, I want it, let's go. God's already given it to us, let's go fight. Or are we the 10 spies who say, yeah, it's what I want, but it can't be done. I can't fight those giants. I can't take a walled city. It isn't going to happen. There's too many Christians that have lost sight of God's power in their lives, and they are nevertheless Christians. We can focus on the grapes, or we can focus on the giants. Amen. We can focus on what's waiting for us there, this abundance, this milk and honey, or we can focus on the giants that are there that we're going to have to fight to get what God's already given us. And so, verse 30, Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Don't you love that? We're well able. Verse 39, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able. So which is it? It's either well able or not able. It can't be both, can it? It's all about perspective. Caleb said, let's go. We're well able. The other 10 said, we be not able. Why did Caleb believe this? Well, he tells us over in chapter 14, verse 8. Let's turn over there. Chapter 14, verse 8. Caleb was able to see the promised land through the eyes of faith. Amen. He was able to see the victorious Christian life through the eyes of faith in a God that can do anything. And he says in chapter 14, verse 8, he said, if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. He said, if this is what God wants, it's ours. Amen. He'll give it to us. If the Lord delight in us, of course, it has to be God's will. And we have to be walking with the Lord. We get to the New Testament. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, yes, Satan is strong. Jesus is stronger. Yes, there are giants. So what? Jesus can slay those giants. But God's already given me the victorious Christian life. I just need to go take it. He also looked down in verse chapter 14, 24. This is Caleb again. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, which we'll talk more about in future messages. Caleb had another spirit. What was the spirit? It was the spirit that stood up and said, we are well able. Amen. A spirit that said in verse 8, let's go. God's already given to us. Verse 9, they are bread for us. You know, that's the spirit he wants every Christian to have. Spirit of faith. Spirit of knowing this is what God wants. God wants me to have the victorious Christian life. I'm going to cross the Jordan and I'm going to fight whatever battle I need to fight to have what God has already given me. I'm not afraid. Verse 30, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. This is God speaking. Save Caleb and Joshua. How sad. That verse 31. The men that went up with him said, chapter 13, verse 31, we be not able. So which is true? It's all dependent upon your perspective. If you're not willing to trust God, no, you're not able. But if you are willing to trust God, you're well able. So which is it? Is it a land that floweth with milk and honey, or is it a land with giants? It's both. And God wants us to go and take it. Amen. But these men, these 10 men, they looked at the external situation. the walled cities and the giants and said, they're too strong, we can't do it. As a matter of fact, if you look at Psalm 106:24, here's God's way of describing it. Psalms 106 is kind of one of those chapters that kind of recounts the history of Israel in a summary form. And here in Psalm 106, verse 24, he says, "Yea, they despised the pleasant land." Look at this next phrase. "They believed not his word." God's word says, "This is your land. I've already given it to you. Go take it." It says they believed not his word. And Christians who say, "I can't do it. I can't witness to the lost. I can't memorize scripture. I can't be faithful to church. I can't stop sinning. I can't be the kind of Christian God wants me to be." None of those things are true. You're right. In your own strength, you can't do those things. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. And Caleb and Joshua had that spirit, which we'll see next week. So again, what are they looking at? 13:31 here, Numbers. "They are stronger than we." We cannot look at Satan this way. The Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." 1 John 4:4. We cannot look at Satan in light of our strength. We must look at him in light of Jesus' strength. Amen? Yeah, he's stronger than us personally, because we're just wicked sinners saved by grace. But he's definitely not stronger than Jesus, who indwells us and empowers us and will fight those battles for us. But sadly, these men were not willing to see through the eyes of faith what God had already given them. And it says down in 14:11, look what God says about these 10 men and the nation of Israel, as you will see. 14:11, "The Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me?" Isn't that a sad rhetorical question? How long are they going to keep provoking? How long will it be before they believe me? I've already been telling them. I've already shown them my miracles and my power through the Red Sea, through the manna, through the water out of the rock, and the list goes on and on. How long is it going to take for them to believe that I am who I say I am, that I am infinitely powerful, that I'm on their side? He says, essentially, they are provoking me with their lack of faith. That's what it says, isn't it? That they're provoking me. And it says, verse 32, they brought up an evil report. Too many Christians are afraid of the victorious Christian life because, you know what? It involves battles. It involves sacrifice. There's going to be a lot of battles to fight if you want the life God wants you to have, because the devil doesn't want you to have it. If you just sit on the couch and do nothing, the devil doesn't care. But if you say, "No, I'm done with that. I'm crossing the Jordan. I'm going to take the land. I'm going to take that mountain that God's promised me." Now the devil says, "Okay, it's time to resist." And look at their perspective, verse 33. "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers." What happened to God? What happened to Jehovah, who's been leading them and miraculously providing for them and protecting them? "Oh, no, but we were like grasshoppers compared to these giants." And look what God says about that, 14:22. He says, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice." Next week, we're actually going to look at the 10 times. It's a literal 10. 10 times that Israel provoked God because of lack of faith. God was not happy. And verse 33 says, "So we were in their sight." How do you know what you were in the sight of the giants? God sees us in Christ. Amen. So what did God say, 14:23? They shall not see the land, which I swear. I promised it, but now I'm not going to let them see it. Now that they haven't trusted me, now that they've instead not trusted me and said we can't do it, I'm not going to let them have it. I'm going to turn them around and head them back into the desert. We know the story, which we will be studying in the next months. They wandered for 40 years while everyone over 20 died. But not until immediately, chapter 14, verse 37, something a lot of Christians don't catch is that God then killed the 10 spies right there. Did you know that? Those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. This was before the wandering. God killed the 10 spies. So we're going to look at it again next week, but I want us to see Israel's response to all of this in chapter 14 quickly, just the first four verses. Again, we'll look at it again next week. So far we've just looked at the spies. We've got two sets of spies. We've got the minority and the majority, right? The minority says, let's go. The majority says, we can't do it. God killed them for not trusting him. How did Israel respond? Verse 1, chapter 14. And all, see that word all? All the congregation of Israel, congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. What about Joshua and Caleb's report? Let's go. Let's go take it. Nope. One of the signs of not having faith and not being close to God is believing the negative. And that's exactly what they did. Another sign is verse 2, murmuring. All the children of Israel, notice the word all again, murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and the whole congregation said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness. Can you imagine saying something like that? That we would have been better off to die than to have to go into the promised land? What a silly statement. But murmurers aren't always logical, as we have seen many times. Better to die than to follow God. Better to die than to trust God. So this is what backsliders do. They believe the negative, they murmur, and then what? Verse 3, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? Why are we even here? To fall by the sword. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So this is what happens. They start looking back. People that lack the faith in what God can do through them and in them, they start looking back, which Egypt represents our previous life. It represents the world. So what do they do? Verse 4, let us make a captain and return into Egypt. We're done with Moses. Let's get a new leader and go back to Egypt. By the way, that did not work out, even as we'll see next week. So we really, as Christians, always have a choice, don't we? We can say we're well able or we're not able. We can focus on the grapes or we can focus on the giants. It's the same either way. The promised land is waiting for us. It's there for the taking. God's already given it to us. He's already promised it to us, as we saw in John 10:10. Just said, I came to give them life, not just any life. I came to give them life more abundantly. Are we willing to cross the Jordan and take the abundant life? Fight some giants? Watch God knock down some walls so that we can enjoy the land that floweth with milk and honey? Or are we going to stand on this side, Jordan, and say, can't be done? Can't do it. God's not strong enough. All that does is make God angry, as we see. And like we saw, he kills the 10 spies with a plague. So we're either well able, or, as our title is tonight, we be not able. The situation is identical in both cases, right? It's all about perspective. We are either well able to go in and be the Christian God wants us to be, or we be not able to be the Christian God wants us to be. And by the way, there's some partial truth to that, because if we don't believe God can do it, we aren't able. Because we've just now said, God, I don't trust you, I don't believe you, and what's the Bible say? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's get across that Jordan and start fighting some giants, amen? Take those grapes, because we're able. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this beautiful story and yet sad story that teaches us so many lessons about ourselves. I pray we would be those Christians like Joshua and Caleb that knows that we can do this with your help, and that you're on our side, and that you want for us the promised land. You've already promised it and said it's ours if we'll just go in and fight for it and take it. So I pray that it would be us. And Lord, that we wouldn't doubt you, but we would believe you 100%. Thank you for speaking to our hearts.